Okay, the series of lessons that we're doing is Blessed Assurances. And the first lesson that I thought we needed to start with is, you know, it seems so odd for those who were Christians, said, well, why would she start with God is? And of course, we covered that. Sometimes we just sort of let that be a clouded issue. We take it for granted. We don't allow that to really affect our lives in the way that maybe it should. Or when we're teaching others, to be able to just recall some basic scriptures that we can go to show that God is and that God loves me, God loves you, God loves them. And some basic ways that we can go to God's Word and show that. And then in our life, living for God, how that assurance and that peace within that we have knowing that, how that relates to our service and our thankfulness and our look on life and how we approach life. We started out, as we saw, that He is the Creator, He is the Sustainer, He is the Ruler, and He is the Savior and the Judge of us, of me. And that His eternal power and everything that God is can be seen by His creation. And He explains Himself, Christ explains, the Word of God explains God, who He is, and His will for His creation. And then we talked about the blessings that come from a study of God's Word. And we didn't read it, but I wanted to mention in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from God. And the Father of lights is what He says there through the Holy Spirit. And so we know that God is the giver of all good things. And then we looked, that brought us up to, as a woman, we looked at some passages quite hurriedly. It was toward the end of the class and everything. Some passages in the Bible, because sometimes women begin to think, you know, I don't, what's my worth? The world combats women all the time about their role and about their value and what they contribute in the scheme of things. And so we looked at some passages, and we looked at Genesis 2, of course, that we are made in God's image. We also looked at the fact that woman was God's perfect and only answer to man's problem of loneliness. And so God put that stamp of approval. God made. God says she is the perfect one. She is what man needs. And then we looked in Proverbs 31. One of the ladies brought that up. We looked at how the fear of the Lord caused this woman to be generous and kind and teaching that to her children, and even it spilling over to everyone that she come in contact with. She clothed herself with strength and dignity. And then she should be praised. The Lord said, let her be praised for this. So the Lord puts great value, and He tells women how to be of this great value in many, many passages in the Scripture. And He acclaims many women. Just in passing scriptures, you know, whether it's Dorcas or whether it's the Marys, you know, of the New Testament, whether it's the older woman, as in Titus 2. And I just turned my Bible over there, and the Lord talks to older women to be reverent, not to be gossips or malicious, not to be enslaved in much wine, but teachers of what is good. And he has a purpose for that. He wants older women to be that because they are a helpmate. They are mamas. They are grandmamas. And he wants them to be of such character that they can teach what is good. In fact, here, just in the relationship with younger women, whether it be in the relationship in the church, or whether it be their daughters, or whether it be others, he says that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, okay? To love their children, to be sensible, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their husbands. And he gives the reason why. And this is why it's important to God. This is why he puts such value to these qualities, to women. That. Okay? And this is the Lord speaking, that the word of God may not be dishonored. So you have his word. You have about marriage, you have about homes, you have about loving one another, you have about the one another passages that we have so gratefully studied in some of our classes, and how we deal even with the outside world, that we may be lights to them so that they will glorify God in the day of Christ coming. Okay? And so he expects us, whom he's given so much value to be his, to teach what is good, to be sensible, to fear him and obey him, so that his word will be glorified in us. And that is of great value, that he gives us that responsibility. You know, because we see it's in our children. You see how wonderful their little eyes light up when you give them a task to do, and they do it, and you praise them. They think they're helping. Sometimes they want to help to do things that they can't do yet, but you encourage that. Well, God gives us value. He gives us a role. He gives us a place in his scheme of things, and he tells us what to do and how to do it to be pleasing, so that his word can be glorified in us. And that is a great, great thing. And we should feel good about that. And he praises us for it. And our husbands will praise us for it if they are a godly man. And others, just like the woman in Proverbs 31, her children should rise up and bless her. And those of us of age who have children, you get these Mother's Day cards and you can hardly read them because of the tears in your eyes, because they are saying thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your example. Thank you for not letting me do like I wanted to do, you know, and they'll bring up some specific thing that's only, you know, pretty to you too. And so, you know, it is a wonderful thing to see the fruits of your labor. And the Lord will bless us for that. And so then that brings us to our work and loving one another and those kinds of things, that we can be honoring one another and doing that. In 1 Peter 3, 2, the Lord, through Peter, says that a gentle and quiet spirit, that chaste, respectful behavior. What does God say that is to him? It is what? What's the word he uses there? Starts with a P. 1 Peter 3, 2. Everyone should know that God says that it is precious. This gentle and quiet is precious in God's sight. The gentle, quiet spirit, the respectful behavior. This woman that has these qualities is precious. He values that so much. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 100. as we go into the next phase of our lesson. Psalm 100. Lisa, would you like to read Psalm 100, please?
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before them with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, blessing his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations.
The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. And his faithfulness, his truth, never changes. It goes from generation to generation. It is pure. As we studied about God's word, his loving kindness never ends. His mercy, his steadfast love. Okay. And we should bless his name and give thanks to him. And that brings us to the songs that I picked just a few. If you have another one that is your favorite, that means something to you, that helps you to bring your mind to this thanksgiving, that helps you to, in your assurance of thanking the Lord and praising his name, and how great they are at page 5. And I wanted to share something just this morning. I got in the car and my radio come on. And Elvis Presley came on as the next song to be sung. And guess what song Elvis Presley sung? How Great Thou Art. And my heart, you know, I heard, listened to that, and then I thought, you know, actually Elvis did love singing gospel better than anything. But we've been studying a God. The creator, the ruler, the sustainer, the giver of all good things. And then, you know, we turn our pages to page 5, as often we do here. And our hearts lift up to God, and we begin singing. And I just thought to myself, do I get caught up in just making, you know, the noise to God? How great thou art. Do I, like Elvis, because of his life, because of his devotion to other things, he had many, many idols in this world besides, you know, loving and voicing his love for God and Jesus. Another song he sang was about grace, amazing grace, and those kinds of things. But it didn't change his life. It didn't make him consider the Word of God that sometimes he talked about growing up with. And so I find myself, am I just making noise? Am I just mouthing words? Am I just in the moment? Are these things that I'm singing, do I mean it? You know, sometimes we can even get up, caught up here in our worship just in the singing. Something else is going on, and we're just mouthing words. And so some of these things I wanted us to look at because, you know, I'm not judging Elvis. I'm not judging you. I'm looking at my heart, and I'm looking at my devotion because the Lord tells us in many of the old prophets, the Old Testament prophets, about that the worship of Israel and Judah was just a bunch of noise to him because their heart wasn't right in it, because they were doing it as rote, and they did not have their hearts tuned in to really praising and honoring and serving God as they should. And he judged them for it. Okay, so let's read. O Lord my God. Now that in itself, Lord, ruler, God, He is the Lord. He is God. We just read it in Psalms 100. And we've studied this. He's the Creator. You know, we are addressing the great I Am here. Okay. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds our hands have made. Do we ever stop and take time just to do that? Sometimes I think we get so busy with life that we forget to enjoy the blessings of this world around us. The birds, the trees, whatever. If the child that will go outside and pick up a leaf, okay? And study it, and the awness of it, and the wonder of it, and the little bugs. I have a granddaughter who is really into bugs. And so, they love the things of nature. And so, but does that still affect our hearts? Has our hearts gotten so busy or so hardened by things in this life that we don't take the time to be in awe and in wonder of the things that God has made? It can be so peaceful. If you've ever sat and watched a sunset, Lauren the other morning was talking about the sunrise and the pinkness of the sky, and she just had to go look at it, you know. And so it's something that still affects us, and we can allow it to, and give thanks for, thank you, Lord, for letting me see this, you know. And it brings us to the reality that there is the great design and great maker of all things, okay? And it says, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, their power throughout all the universe displayed. And it talks about going through the woods and hear the birds, look down from a lofty mountain's grandeur. I tell you, if you've ever been on a mountain or if you've ever been to a place like the Grand Canyon, it is mind-boggling, you know. And no matter how foolish sounding the History Channel can get the sound on how that all happened and everything like that, we know that the Lord God, you know, made it. And that some of these things that they come up with billions and billions of years, you know, can be settled if you just read God's Word and have confidence in what is mentioned in God's Word. And it says, and you hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Can you imagine working outside on a really hot day, or you're outside with the children and you're playing in the park or something like that, and just, man, you know, you're hot and you're tired, and then this just little gentle breeze. And what that does, if you allow it, to your spirit. And it just stop and think a moment. Well, thank you for that very simple blessing. And these things, if we just allow the things of every day to affect our faith and to affect our thankfulness, okay? And when I think, now the second part, what we're going to be talking about, Lord willing, in lesson two. When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Humbling, not just words. It should humble us. It should make us so thankful and so aware that we would be completely undone and without hope if He did not do this. And we should praise God for it. When Christ, and then it talks about Christ coming back. And our hope, and we talk about this, Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. When we talk about going home, does that echo in our minds at all the thought of, this world is not my home? Sometimes we can think of these words of this song when the things of this world and the everyday things that we're doing that prioritize our time and our thoughts and our money And we lose sight of being rich towards God and our home that we're looking forward to going to, that we're putting in danger of not going to because we've taken on this world as our home. And so, you know, the outcome of all of this is the next phrase. I bow, I shall bow. This is a promise, you know, too. In humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And then we proclaim how great thou art. And then sings my soul. Does it really sing? Does it really be praising and thankful about the Savior God? Okay? Any thoughts of what this song means to one of you? Okay, let's go to page 5. Oh, excuse me, 267. 267. Who would like to read Jesus Loves Me? Okay, Tammy.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. And we study on how we can know that God loves us. It's because he sent God, Jesus, to die for us. And he sent his word that we may know that and that we may live. Now, it's great. We acknowledge that Jesus loves me, and that should lead us to this life. Here is a prayer in verse 3. I don't know when you sing it, if you ever have noticed this. Jesus, take this heart of mine. Now, as you all know, when we sing things to God, when we vow things to God, God expects us to keep our word. That's why he talks about rashly not speaking with our lips, because be careful what you promise God. Now, this is a prayer, and here we are. Make my heart pure and wholly thine. We sing this song. We sing it with our children. We sing it in church, or we sing it. I actually sang it with my mom as she was near death. And so, you know, this is a prayer. Lord, even in all these circumstances, take my heart and make it wholly thine. It's total trust. It's total devotion. It says pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me. And here's the promise. You see, there's the prayer, and here's the promise. I will henceforth live for thee. If we don't mean it, you better not say it before God. Are we going to have to repent of that and start all over again? Yeah. And we do. We fail. But do we understand what we're saying when we sing this? And does it mean something as to how I'm going to walk, live the very next minute, or the very next hour, or the rest of that day when we're talking about it? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes.
That brings up, and it may not be as related as you would like, but I've been in a lot of courtrooms, and people will surprise you time after time when they get on the stand and raise their hand, and all of a sudden their story's different, and they're telling the truth right then. because they got up and they raised their hand and they swore before God to do so. And what I think we can forget is even by singing this song, how is that any different? Why do I have to raise my hand in a courtroom and swear to tell the truth and it really be the truth? You know, this kind of a promise is no different. You're promising God, or even if you're promising your neighbor. Our promises need to be well thought through and taken very seriously, regardless of where we are.
Exactly. This is talking to the Creator who knows all things, who's all wise, who sees me, who knows me, my inner being, and I am talking to Him. I'm promising Him, and He sees whether, number one, I mean it, and whether I keep my word, whether I am honest in all of my dealings, whether I really, truly strive to be the best I can be that day, you know, to wholly let my heart be His that day, and or are we trying to fool God as we fool others, you know? And we don't have to be sometimes conscientiously trying to be the hypocrite. It's just that we don't make the extra effort that it takes to react in a better way, to act in a better way, to speak in a better way, to do those things that is closer to what the Word of God would have me to be and the God of heaven would have to be. And I had another one there in that category there. Does Jesus care? 446, let's just look at that. I mean, 466, let's look at that just a minute. You know, because so many of us have gone through heart-wrenching experiences. Some have lost loved ones. Some have lost family. Some are in the trenches of dealing with family. And so, you know, it says, does Jesus care? Some have disease. When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song. You know, sometimes our heart is just so heavy. It's really hard to sing songs. I know at my mom's funeral, those of us in the family, we were doing, they were singing the Old Rugged Cross. It was my mom's favorite song. It's what she lived by. It's what kept her going. And, you know, we just lost it. You know, you're just so deep. But we knew that the Lord knew that, you know, we understood the words. And sometimes our heart is so pained so deeply for mirth or song, but He knows and He cares. Okay? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Can you imagine Randy? You know, in his fight against this horrible cancer, that sometimes the burden of it gets very heavy. But the Lord cares, and the Lord is there for him. And so He does care. And He cares when the way is dark. So often, people have things in their lives and situations in their lives and marriages that present them with many, many problems. And, you know, but Jesus cares, okay? But He says, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? You see, we can be assured that He does care and that He is near and that He's watching and that He will take care of you, okay? And so, and then it talks about saying goodbye to the dearest one on earth. Those of us who are married, I can't imagine, you know. I told Wally yesterday I'd like to have, you know, I wish the Lord could grant me 46 more years, you know. But it's probably inevitable that that will not happen. And so, you know, I watched my dad be so lonely and suffer without my mom, and they had been together for 63 years. And so, you know, it's a long road when you've lost someone that you've loved very much. But the Lord cares, and He's there, and His promises that He makes in the New Testament helps us. And so when we are down, you know, and we sing this song even in services, you know, we should tune our hearts to thanksgiving and praise and adoration, because the Lord cares. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-merciful. And His promises are sure. And we can believe in what He says, that He does care for us. Okay, any points or any questions about that? Yes, dear.
It's going back to Jesus loves me, but it also goes to that Jesus cares. There are like 6 or 7 verses to this
Jesus
loves me song.
Yes.
And one I really like to sing to Mia is Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes him very sad. You know, she needs to know that God cares whether she's good or bad. And I think that's, you know, important for our children to know that even when they're bad, God still cares. They need to strive to be good, and they're doing it for God.
Exactly. And that He loves them enough that He sent Jesus to die because we are bad.
Right.
You know. But He doesn't like it, and it makes Him sad. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It does all these things. And so we need to raise our children knowing that Jesus loves them. But this song, Jesus Loves Me, is not for little children. You can sing it. It is for grown-ups, believers. Okay? It is not the little ones come in. That's humble hearts who believe in the gospel, who take refuge in Jesus' blood because Jesus loves them and wants them to be saved, you know. But it's a good place to begin when your child is rocking in the rocker, you know, to teach them about Jesus. Okay. Oh, thy fount of every blessing. I wanted to read 1 Timothy 4 because sometimes we get caught up in this world. And I think one of our sermons on the weekend meeting on the dangers of riches in America and everything was a very good sermon. Deanna, would you read 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, please?
Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer.
Okay. Everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude and is sanctified by means of the Word of God, like marriage. Marriage can be very good. God made it very good. If we do not follow God's Word, it is not going to be good. And if the way we raise our children, if we don't teach them, you know, or if we, how we treat one another. God made human relationship. He made the church very good. But if we don't do our part, if we don't love one another correctly, if there's a biting and jealousy and those kinds of things going on, we're going to be in the same shape as the First Corinthian church was. And, you know, and God's going to have to discipline us by His Word of God, just through Paul. And so, you know, those kinds of things create bad things. But, you know, this passage here is talking about people out there in the world and their concepts of things is not the way that God presents them. And he said that they want to abstain from foods and all these kinds of things. Food is given for our enjoyment. We should be thankful for it. everything good we should enjoy with thanksgiving. Not and this is the point that I was making about the sermons on riches. You know, so often we get to feeling so good about ourselves because we've accomplished this, or our husband has gotten a raise, or we have a good job, and that's all good from the Lord. But, you know, do we turn those riches into being a trust in these kinds of things, or do we accept them as a good thing from God and thank Him and use them righteously, you know, as He would have those things, and not turn the very blessings that He's given us into an evil thing, or into serving idols instead of in His service. And so in 4:20, when we read, you know, and we sing this, "Oh, Thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy praise." There's another prayer, okay? "Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise." Do we even, and this is getting into another service, do we even thank God for the things that we have? Do we praise God if it's just the little things? Even if we're opening up a can of beans instead of putting steak on the table that night, okay? Do we thank God for the beans? I was very lucky at times to have cornbread and beans on the table because that's all that we could afford to have, and we're very thankful for it. Okay? So, you know, and you can pick your own thankfulness in that. The clothes that we wear, the new cars that we drive, you know. Do we stop to thank God for the blessing of doing that? Or do we stop and thank God for the blessing of being able to help someone else? I've got an abundance. God has blessed me. Do I help someone? And do I thank God, or do I feel all puffed up with pride about that? Okay? So, "Teach me ever to adore Thee. May I still Thy goodness prove." You know, sometimes we get to feeling, I know I do, you know, I really arrived today. You know, I'm really feeling good about myself today. Just look at all the good things I've done this weekend. Oh, by the way, I'm doing so-and-so tomorrow for so-and-so. You know, and instead of thanking God for the opportunity, the health for, and the means to do it, you know, I'm feeling really good about myself. And it's not wrong to feel good about yourself. It's just that, you know, we sort of overestimate the value of ourselves, okay? Instead of praising God and praying that He can use us more and more. This is what that's saying. And so when we're singing this song, you know, yes, you're the fount of every blessing, and I'm receiving all this, okay? Then may I still Thy goodness prove. Not only by my actions, but my words, you know, but giving Him the praise. Jesus was forever giving glory to the Father, and that's what we're all about. That's why we are His chosen people, so that we can, what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him whom we serve. Okay, so then there's a prayer. Never let me wander from Thee. Never leave the God I love. Okay, down in the third stanza on the bottom there. Here's my heart, take it and seal it for Thy courts above. And here in the verse 1, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do not appear as being joyous or very much full of God's love because I'm too busy complaining about something or worried about something to the distraction of doing good, praising, or thanking, being thankful. Anybody else have that problem? Yeah. We all have that problem. And so when we sing this song, or when we think of these songs, and we say these words to God, let our hearts be attuned to this, and let us mean it. And when we pray these songs, because that's what praises are, it's prayers and praising, it's thanksgiving, okay? It says, you know, fill my heart with joy and love. And any thoughts about this? You know, there in one of the songs, what is that, 420? Here I raise my Ebenezer. Anybody know what that is? I wanted to touch this, and I'm glad I looked at my note because I skipped over it in the second part. We don't need to sing something we don't know about. In the Old Testament, Samuel, in 1 Samuel 7, has built an altar of thanksgiving to God, and he called it Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. We are raising our altar of praise to God. Okay? Hither by thy help I've come. He was in straits. He was on God's business, but there was problems, and here he's thanking God. And here, you know, we're here by the grace of God. We should raise our altar of praise to God. That's what that means. Okay? So when we sing this song, and, you know, I'm raising my altar of praise because thy help, I'm here because of thy mercy and thy help. I couldn't be here without you, God. Okay? And my hope by thy good pleasure. We have no hope without God. We don't have tomorrow without God. We don't have the next minute. We don't have the blessings of this life without God. Safely to arrive at home, especially the blessings in Christ Jesus, to arrive at home. That's not 1610 Cypress Lane, although it might be. But this is talking about the heavenly home. Okay? And so, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. And then the third stanza. So, you know, he's the fount of every blessing. He is the fount of blessings here. He's the fount of spiritual blessings. He's the fountain of eternal life. And he's the fount of wisdom. He's giving us his word to guide us in wisdom. How to live this life that is not only good for us, but especially pleasing to him. Any thoughts on this?
Yes. So, Ebenezer, that's an idol?
No, it's an altar of praise. He just built a stone altar. Samuel's day, just like Abraham did, back in Genesis, and Isaac and Jacob, and all the fathers, they built altars. That's where they prayed. That's where they glorified God. That's where Abraham built an altar to lay his son Isaac for the sacrifice. And under the old covenant, the altar, the burnt offering altar was for sacrifices. I raised my Ebenezer. The Ebenezer is what he called his altar of praise. It was not an idol. It was a place of honor to pray to God at. Okay? We pray in our hearts. Okay? It was just the custom of the day and the culture for them to have an altar. Now, when the people went and served the other idols of the Gentile nations around them, they did build idols, and they did build false altars, you know? So, but this is not a false altar. This is an altar of praise, okay? By a godly prophet of God. Okay, any other questions? The Precious Book Divine. We made it a study of ours 459. And we will just look at this briefly because I want to stop in just a couple of minutes. The Precious Book Divine. We looked at it enough that... is there any thoughts when someone, I'll just ask that, is there any thoughts particular that you have when you're singing this, or lack of thoughts? You know, do we really extol it? What are your thoughts about the book divine? The second word in the song is how precious is. Is it? Are we lying? Are we telling the truth? Is our hearts, you know, really saying it's precious to me? And if it's precious, then how do I value it? How do I take care of it? What do I do with it?
We do what God wants us to do with it. We read it, we study it, we grow by it, we trust it.
If it's precious, absolutely.
And we apply it.
And that's the whole point of getting our hearts tuned in with this song, you know, because it extols what the Precious Book Divine does for us. Okay? It guides my soul to heaven. It quells my rising fears. Quells there means to crush. Crush. You know, we sing sometimes words and I don't know, you know, sometimes I've got to go look them up so that I know what I'm saying. It crushes my fears, or I can allow it to. Okay? One of the passages that we just studied in Proverbs is how the Word of God, okay, if we follow it, we do not have to have a fear of dread when the bad days come. That's what that woman of Proverbs 31, she has clothed herself in such and her family in such that when the bad times of life and the cold winter storms of life come, she doesn't have to fear, okay? Because she has clothed herself, because she feared the Lord. Okay, and just not talking about in wool and in, you know, and mittens. Okay, it's not talking about that. Okay, it's light to my life, is it? Do we allow the Word of God to light our every step? I fail so miserably. So this song and this prayer and this adoration, when we sing this, does our heart mean it? Do we try that? Do we go out and try to be better at letting this be the truth for me? Not just a bunch of words that sound good and all the harmony is there and we sit down and go on. But does it mean something? Okay, we're going to stop there. It's a few minutes past. We'll just briefly hit those other two and get into lesson two, unless you have questions or things of that nature. Okay? We will have a closing prayer.